May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The agenda for this morning's sermon is quite ambitious. We will talk about eternity, about that critical instant. We will explore the scriptures of three world religions and ask questions about how we live in the world. But most importantly of all, we will talk about ice cream. Our story begins, predictably, up the road a piece at Kimball's. See that kid over there? The kid could be a girl or it could be a boy, but for the sake of our business today, I think he better be a boy. He could be somewhere between 2 and 6 years old, but let's make him 4 years old. The youthful hero of our tale has been to Kimball's before a few times, but he's not a veteran. This is a moment of pure anticipation for him. Can you see him? He has given himself over entirely to the bliss of anticipation. He asked his mom to take him to Kimball's, and to his utter amazement, she has agreed. She is feeling imprudent, a little overindulgent this afternoon, and after all, it's hot, so she lets her son get a small cone instead of a kitty size, which is a big mistake. At Kimball's, a small is huge, a medium is gigantic, and a large could sink the Titanic. Observe our young friend. He has just gotten handed a sugar cone upon which is heaped a scoop of Heath Bar Crunch, a scoop of mint chocolate chip, and all of this, heaven help us, is resting on a foundation of moose tracks. The nefarious concoction has been topped with a layer of rainbow sprinkles. The boy's eyes flash with delight. He cannot believe his good fortune. He seizes the immense monument of sugar and cream and, never taking his eyes from it, wanders from the counter. The lad's intensity is a marvel to behold. Out on the hot pavement now, the kid commences his attack. His face quickly becomes a sticky technicolor smear of dairy and rainbow sprinkles. This is an instant of pure attention. Nothing exists for the boy except his mouth and that magnificent ice cream. Nothing could make this moment more intense. Nothing except. St. Augustine dedicated a whole chapter of his Confessions to the project of trying to figure out what time is. Now, what is time? Not what time it is, but what is time? After pages upon pages of speculation, he eventually comes to the understandable but rather unhelpful conclusion, which is this. What is time, he asks. If no one asks me, I know what it is. But if I explain it to someone, I don't know what it is. A similar frustration was evident in the Buddha's response to the curious monk who asked him how long an eon is. How long is an eon? An eon is long, It is not so easy to count and say it is so many years. But the monk, who is accustomed to the Buddha's eccentricities, asks the Blessed One if he can use a simile to describe the length of an eon, and as you heard in today's reading, the Buddha indulges him, and he has the monk imagine a mountain that is 16 miles high, 16 miles across, and 16 miles long. And in case you're wondering, Mount Everest, I looked it up, is 5.5 miles high. So we're looking at a square piece of rock that's more than three times bigger than Mount Everest. Now, the Buddha says, imagine a person walks up and slides a piece of cloth across the top of this immense piece of rock once. The man goes away and returns 100 years later and again slides a piece of cloth across the top of the mountain. How long would it take, using this process, to erode the mountain into non-existence? Even this long, the Buddha says, is less time than an eon. With this, the Buddha has done an exquisite job of illuminating the idea of a long time. This is not an instant. This is eternity. But it is eternity described. Observe the way that our minds grapple with this idea. And then compare this to the mental state of agitation with the compare this mental state of agitation with the altogether unremarkable response that our consciousness has upon hearing the word eternity or forever. These words seem flat. They merely stand for an idea that our minds can compute with ease. But that rock, 16 miles thick, it defies the mind's ability to be dismissive. This is a definition of a long time that is not particularly accurate. It's not a scientific measurement. It achieves something else entirely. You don't just know this definition. You feel it. If the Buddha had said, an eon, you know, it's 10 times 10 to the 23rd years, he might have given you an accurate number, but it wouldn't have opened up your mind and poured wonder into it. Science depends on accuracy, but religion speaks the language of wonder. Speaking of wonder, I know you're wondering about what happened to the boy with the ice cream cone. All in good time. Before we return to the ice cream incident, I want to tell you another story from another tradition. This time it's from the Hindu tradition. It's a neat story. Listen to this. It involves a boy, a mischievous lad, by the name of Krishna Gopala. And Krishna Gopala is not only a kid, in addition to being a troublesome young imp, who incidentally is about the same age as the youngster with the ice cream, Krishna Gopala also happens to be God. There are certain boys who have an intuition for trouble, and Krishna Gopala is one of these kids. His mother was forever chasing him around because he was always trying to find new ways to cause a ruckus, breaking pots of the cowherds or stealing clothes from people who are bathing in the river. And one day, when his mother's back was turned, Krishna Gopala wandered off and before long found himself by the riverbank, at the edge of a delightful patch of mud. What a gorgeous, gorgeous mess. It was four-year-old heaven. In went Krishna Gopala. Reaching out, he grabbed a handful of the magnificent mud. At this point, of course, his mother's second sense kicked in. It was too quiet. Something wasn't right. So she turned around and spied her son at the very moment that he had dropped a giant handful of mud into his mouth. Again, here we have this intense instant. Running towards her son, Krishna Gopala's mother pries open her son's jaws, and as she tries to extract the mud, she looks into his mouth, and what did she see there? Looking into her mouth, his mouth, she saw the entire universe. The world with all its mountains and oceans, all the stars of the Milky Way, all the unnumbered galaxies stretching further and further into the unfathomable distance, all of time and space, all there in the child's mouth. Religion speaks the language of wonder. Wonder, unlike science, is not concerned about accuracy. It's not concerned about fact. Wonder is expansive enough to easily contain the most outrageous paradox and contradiction. The fact that we know of no mountain that is 16 miles tall and 16 miles wide is of no consequence. We encounter through the wonder of this idea the feeling of eternity. The fact that a child's mouth could not contain the universe is of no matter. We encounter through the wonder of this idea the feeling of an instant, how an instant can hold eternity within it. And lest we imagine that these flights of fancy have no bearing on real life, let us return at last to our kid at Kimball's. Our young friend has just perpetrated the critical 4-year-old ice cream cone error. This is how it happened. He loved that top scoop of Heath Bar Crunch, and so naturally he wanted to try the scoop below it, the mint chocolate chip, which of course was also totally awesome. Unable to contain himself, he made a move for the moose tracks, which was, as fate would have it, located at the bottom of the pile. But since the other two scoops were still on top, the moose tracks exploration critically undermined the structural integrity of the ice cream architecture and... oh. You know what happens next. Bam! The whole thing went over. Heath Bar Crunch, mint chocolate chip, moose tracks, all in a heap on the pavement. All of time and space collapses into that one crushing instant. As the tears well up in the boy's eyes, he sees for the first time that unadulterated joy and utter tragedy are intimately connected. He has no emotional capacity to deal with the utter completeness of this calamity. If there is one reality that can compress a moment into an absolute essence, it is the tragic reality. Joy had centered him in the moment, and tragedy collapses time. You and I, the grown-up onlookers, we know the deal. We understand that this is not the end of the world. But for the kid, this is the end of the world. And as we get older, we learn about ice cream. Most of us grown-ups have learned that ice cream, has, as intense as it is a fleeting pleasure. This is part of what it means to be an adult. We can put things into context. The Apostle Paul says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, but when I became a man, I put aside childish things. Do you suppose the Apostle Paul had a moose track ice cream incident of his own? This all seems like a good thing, this process of putting away childish things, this process of becoming a rational grown-up who can just shrug his shoulders about spilled ice cream. Sure, it's easier to make it through the day when we know that the world does not end with an ice cream cone toppling over. But wait, I am aware that there is someone who does not agree with this very reasonable way of thinking. It is our mutual friend, Jesus, who says, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Jesus is describing the kind of folks you are likely to meet in the kingdom of heaven. And surprise, surprise, it's not the CEOs or the CFOs or the COOs or the CIOs or CMOs. It's not the superintendents of mid-level account resource managers or anything like that. None of them are guaranteed a spot. And this is because being practical and being successful may help you get a nice car and a nice house, but these characteristics will not get you into the kingdom of God. There is one secret, a secret that our young hero at Kimball's is desperately trying to hold on to in the face of tragedy. The Buddha knew the secret, as did the young rascal Krishna Gopala. And Jesus also speaks this language, the language of wonder. Wonder. Amen.